Hey, it's great to be here. I hope you think it's great for me to be here as well, but if you don't know, hopefully you will by the end. What an amazing passage of Scripture. Oops, let me just get myself organised. Well, I think you know by now that I'm the centre manager from Poole. I've been doing that job for just coming up 5.5 years, and I still have things that happen to me that have never happened before. I was with a client on Friday, and they had a cockatoo that was making a lot of noise in the cage, and the client said to me, the reason making so much noise is because she wants to come out and say hello. Do you mind? So I said, no. So let this cockatoo out of the cage, and it was flying down over our heads, and then came and sat on the table. The three of us there, I was there with the befriender, and just hopped around on the table, and literally as I was trying to write, it was trying to nibble the end of my pen, which was quite interesting, and taking chunks out of all the paperwork. So that's a first for me. I've had large dogs trying to sit on my lap and all sorts of things. So, Russell, you'll have a lot of fun, amongst other things. I'm one of the elderships team at Poole Christian Fellowship, which is an FIEC church down in Poole. I'm married with 3 grown-up sons, and as I say, I'm the CAP Centre Manager there. So a big thank you for having me today. Really appreciate that. It's a privilege to come and share with you, to share something from God's Word, but also to share a bit about the work of CAP. I have to say that I am as passionate about the work now as I was 5.5 years ago when I first started, which is a good sign. It's been a bit of a roller coaster. It's changed me. It's changed us as a church, so be warned. It's an exciting journey. The journey of CAP is an amazing journey. It spans 20 years from the mid-90s when a guy called John Kirkby, who himself was in about £80,000 worth of debt, got to know someone who was actually a church minister, and he came to faith in the mid-90s. And he began to sort his debt out, and God began burdening his heart to help others get their debt sorted out. And so he set out in 1996 with £10 that someone gave him to go and help the poor. And today the budget for CAP nationally is over £10 million. There's about 300 staff in head office. There's 300 and odd debt centres around the country, and we're also involved with other stuff as well. What an exciting time for you guys in Eastleigh, not just for the Baptist Church here, but as Russell said, for other churches in town who are involved in this initiative. And it sounds from your diary like there's really a need in the town. Some people think of Poole and they think of Harry Redknapp and they think of big sailing boats and Sunseeker and lots of wealth. I could take you to places where people have no furniture and no carpet. And no food in the cupboard. There's plenty of poverty in Poole as well, and we too are booked up to the end of April. So today, where are we going today? I'm going to be sharing a few thoughts from Luke 4, and as we go through there, just explaining how CAP is very much a modern-day outworking of what Jesus was reading from the prophet Isaiah there. I'm going to explain to you how you can get a free book. Anyone like free books, free offers and things all that for free books? Yeah. And also give opportunity to sign up so that you can receive regular news for what's going on in CAP and to make a regular contribution if you are able and would like to do so. So let's think about Luke 4 for a moment. It's entitled in most of our Bibles, Jesus Rejected at Nazareth. We didn't read that portion. I'm not going to unpack that this morning. We just read the starting bit when Jesus makes a declaration of what he's about to start doing, and indeed had just started doing in some areas. The passage that Jesus actually reads, so he picks up the scroll of Isaiah. There's nothing unusual about this. He goes to the synagogue, he goes there every week. He turns up, he offers to be a reader. He's handed a scroll, and they would have different set readings, and he reads. And then he sits down and he starts to speak. There's nothing unusual about any of that. It happened every Saturday in the synagogue. What was unusual was that Jesus, that last phrase that we read there, when Jesus said, today this is fulfilled, right here, right now. this what Isaiah wrote hundreds of years ago is not for a future time. Hey guys, it's right here, right now. Times are changing. Times are changing. And as he began to unpack that, then things turned a little bit nasty. And that's why it's headed up, Jesus rejected at Nazareth. But if we look at verse 18 of what Jesus says there, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to." And then he lists a few things out, and we're going to look at some of those in a moment. Do you know, some people want the Holy Spirit to come upon them because I want this lovely fuzzy feeling. Isn't it wonderful to be in the presence of God and I can shake or I can do this or I can do the other thing? The Holy Spirit anoints for a purpose. It is good to be in the presence of the Lord. Don't misunderstand me. Psalm 16, I think, says that the... is it 16:11 or 11:16? I can't remember. But it says, "In the presence of the Lord there is fullness of joy, and at his right hand there are pleasures forevermore." But the anointing of the Holy Spirit is given for a purpose. We read in the book of Judges in chapter 6 that the Spirit of God came on Gideon and he blew a trumpet and he began to gather armies around him to go and fight the Midianites who had invaded the land. The Spirit of God was on him for a purpose. We read in Judges 14 that the Spirit of God rushed in upon Samson when he was confronted by a lion and he tore it apart with his bare hands. The anointing wasn't there for no purpose. The anointing is always given for a purpose. We read in Acts chapter 4 how the Holy Spirit came upon the church. And it says that they were given boldness to go and proclaim the gospel, to go and proclaim the word of God out and around and about. The anointing of the Spirit was given for a purpose. And so we read, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to do something." What was the Spirit of God anointing Jesus to do? So firstly, he says, he has anointed me to preach or to proclaim good news to the poor. I'm going to spend a bit more time on this point than the other, so if I get to the end of this one, you think, wow, this could go on until 1:30. Don't worry too much. To proclaim good news to the poor. In this country, the biggest cause of poverty is debt. Joblessness also causes poverty. Addiction causes poverty. Relationship breakdown can cause poverty. Illness can cause poverty. But the single biggest cause of poverty is debt. And I'm going to focus on that this morning. If you want information on some of the other stuff that CAP does, that's available at the stand. We run job clubs. We also run release groups dealing with certain forms of addiction. And we run a thing called Life Skills, which is helping people make the most of their money, maybe if they're on a restricted budget. But this morning, I'm just going to talk to you a little bit about the debt centers and how that works. One thing that I've observed over the last few years, I've been a Christian for 40-odd years. I know you might think I don't look that old. Some of you are thinking I look like I could have been Christian for 80 years. I've seen a change in the church over the last few years. There's been an increased awareness of communities around the church. Church generally is fairly middle class, let's be honest about it. And sometimes we can have a middle class church in an area which is really deprived or poor and hard up. And it just seems to me that the church has become more interested, has become more burdened for people around. And I think that's a tremendous thing. God's restoring that love for poor people, for broken people to the church. I say restoring, it's not a new thing, it's a restoring. If you go back to the very early church, I'm sure lots of you are studiers and maybe some theologians amongst us. When the Apostle Paul was going to part company in a good way with the other apostles, and he felt God had called him, and they agreed to go and preach to the Gentiles, and Peter and the other apostles were going to preach to the Jews, and they recognized that this was Paul's ministry. And you can read about this in Galatians. Paul had gone up to meet them. He wanted to check out what he was teaching and preaching, make sure they were happy with it, which they were. And they parted company. And you read this in Galatians 2 and chapter 10, chapter 2 and verse 10, that as the parting shot, if you like, Paul says, "The one thing that they reminded me to do was what?" What would you think? you know, you're going to go and preach the gospel. What's the one thing that you're going to say, you must do this? Don't forget the poor. You stole my line there, look. Would that be top of our list? You know, we'd be saying, oh, make sure you tell them about the inerrancy of Scripture. Really important. That is important. Make sure you tell them about explaining the Trinity, or that the gospel is by grace alone and not by works. All these great truths. But what did they say to Paul? Don't forget the poor. And Paul's response? Ah, well, it's number 50 on my list. No, Paul's response, it was the very thing that I was eager to do. You see, the love for the poor and the broken was right there in the heart of the church. We see it in the ministry of Jesus. He spent his time with the poor and broken, and God is restoring that to the church. We see that through the Old Testament with the laws about the crops and the harvesting. Read the book of Proverbs. Just write down every reference to money, and you'll soon get the idea. You know, so often as church, we can think about worldwide mission, we can think about worldwide poverty, and it's good to get involved and to support people in the third world, maybe in parts of Eastern Europe or other places. But sometimes we can forget the community on our doorstep that is poor and is broken. God is restoring that. I know you're involved in one or two projects like Street Pastors and the Random Acts of Kindness, or Acts of Random Kindness. That opportunity to do that will increase the more you get involved with CAP, because you will come across many more people who will really benefit and appreciate that kindness and that love that is shown. You know, one of the things that really struck me when I first went to CAP, which was in March 2011, I went with our minister on a church partnership day to just hear about the work. I knew nothing about it. I'd never really heard of them before. And they talked about their values. And their values are threefold. They're these: God's heart for the lost, God's heart for the poor, and God's heart for the local church. So let me deal with that third one first. CAP do nothing except through the local church. Now, that to me is a massive tick in the box, because to me the local church is scriptural. The local church is where it's at. The local church is God's design for showing his glory to this world. So I can kind of tick that one and almost forget it in a sense. So when I go out and do my job, and when I think about CAP, to me it's God's heart for the poor and God's heart for the lost. And those two things go hand in hand. So when I go out on home visits, I share the gospel. I talk about forgiveness. I talk about new life in Christ. I talk about my own journey of faith. I take that love for the lost. But we also are there to relieve poverty. Do you know 2 out of every 3 clients say they have missed meals because of debt? 1 in 4 clients do it on a regular basis. They go without food. I don't know about you, but I don't know if you ever fast, but I don't like fasting. I find it difficult. I just find it something I don't enjoy. I struggle with it. Many of these clients are fasting, not for any spiritual reason. They're not eating because they have no food. I went to see a mum with a couple of kids one time, and we usually ask, and we say, how are you for food? And this lady said to me, it was just in a small sort of flat, sort of lounge and kitchen just off the side, she said, look for yourself. I felt slightly embarrassed, really, opening someone else's cupboards, but I did. And I opened the cupboard, it was empty. And I opened another cupboard, and there was a little bit of cereal. There was a tin of beans. And I opened the fridge, and there was a tub of margarine. I think it was a little bit of milk, but there was nothing else. There's a mum with 2 young kids. So I said, right, let's forget the paperwork for a minute. We're going shopping. We took her shopping. We paid the bill. And we do that. We work with a local food bank, one or two other organizations that can help in that regard. When that budget and all that information goes up to CAP and up to the head office and they produce a budget, they'll prioritize food. They'll prioritize energy costs so that the house can be warm. They'll prioritize those essentials. And we will stand between the client and their creditors. I'll tell you a bit more about that in a second. We're proclaiming good news to the poor. Proclaiming good news to the poor. The second thing Jesus said is proclaim, he said, that the Spirit of the Lord has anointed me to proclaim freedom to prisoners. We do CAP for prisons. I've never been involved with that. But you know, many clients are prisoners in their own homes. One of the biggest things that debt causes is isolation. I don't know about you, but for me, if a friend of mine says, oh, do you want to pop out for a coffee or let's go for a meal? I can just say, yeah, great. I haven't got to think, how can I afford that coffee and cake? For many of our clients, they're in a position where a friend will say to them, well, do you want to come out? And they go, no, I don't think I want to. What they really mean is, I can't afford it. So the friend asks them two or three times, and they say no. And they make an excuse, and in the end, the friend goes, I wonder what's wrong with her. I wonder why she doesn't want to come out. Oh, well, I won't bother ringing her anymore. And people become trapped in their own four walls because of their debt. They become frightened to answer the phone. They become frightened to open the door. I have places sometimes where now I knock on the door and I take a couple of steps backwards because I know there'll be a curtain somewhere just to see who's at the door. And if they can't see, they won't open it. Frightened to pick up the post, to get another letter that I can't deal with. I just throw it away. So CAP deal with that on a client's behalf. Once someone signs up with CAP, we take those phone calls. We get the letters. If anyone contacts the client, they're instructed to just say, phone CAP, I can't talk to you. Wow, what an amazing release of stress that is for so many people. So we take that aggression. We take those people who demand more money. That all comes into our head office. You know, debt is like a slippery pole, a greasy pole. You get on at the top, you think it's okay, and before you know it, you're sliding down. Before you know it, you're at the bottom and you can't climb up again. Last year, CAP as an organization, we took 2,600 families, households, some of them individuals, some of them may have two or three kids. We took 2,600 households debt-free. 2,600 households debt-free. That's 2,600 families released from prison. 2,600 families who can pick up the phone, who can look at their mail and think, that's okay, I've got a budget. 2,600 families who are not afraid to open the door. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim recovery of sight to the blind. One of our center managers took this very literally, and they had she had a client who was blind, been blind, completely blind for 3 years. And they were in an environment, they were at a conference and or a festival, and they were praying for the sick, and she just felt to pray for this client who was completely blind. And a bit like in the Gospels, she started to see, and she could see the exit sign. And then she could make something else out. And it wasn't long before her sight is completely restored. Praise God. It's amazing. I've met this lady. And she is now, her sight is perfect. So all these people that she knew only by name, she can now look them in the face and go, ah, that's what Russell looks like. Ah, amazing. I've not had that experience. For me, the recovery of sight is about sharing the gospel. And we've seen, I'm going to tell you a little bit about one of our clients later on, but we've seen people come to faith. I'm often sharing the gospel with people, and I really center on forgiveness. I talk about forgiveness. So many people have an impression that a Christian is someone who's a good person. I say, I'm not a Christian because I'm good. I'm a Christian because I know I need forgiving. And I know a God who is willing and ready and able to forgive. And so often at the end of it, people say, I've never heard people talk about Christianity like that. Because all they've seen of it is maybe when they've been to a christening or they've been to a funeral or what they've seen on the telly. And to meet a real live, born-again Christian, it's like it's a little bit, but then when you explain it, it's go, I get that. I get that. And eyes get opened. Last year, hear this, last year we saw 1,050 people make a commitment to Christ. 1,050. I don't know how many people this church holds, but you imagine this number of people coming to faith every couple of months. A church like this, every couple of months of new believers. Isn't that amazing? Fantastic. And locally in Poole, we've seen something like 15 or so come to faith over the last few years. Not all of them stick. Some of them we've managed to plant in other churches. Some of them have joined us and become part of the family. It's been amazing. What an amazing opportunity for local church. You know, so often churches think, wouldn't it be great to be involved in our community? How on earth can we do it? And CAP is a bridge that enables us to go and share our faith. CAP aren't doing it for us. They're putting the tools into our tool bag to enable us as local church to do what God has called us to do, to show light, to shed light into our communities. And then Jesus says that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to set the oppressed free. CAP did one of the things CAP do, they campaign with government. We campaign to get various laws changed. And we point out where laws are unjust towards poor people. There's a report done recently that we had involvement with called The Poor Pay More. The poor pay more. Do you know that poor people pay more for their energy costs? They pay more for prescriptions. They pay more for their car tax and their insurance. You think, well, how on earth does that happen? Why is that? Well, I don't know about you, but we pay our car tax annually. If you pay it monthly, it spreads the cost, but it costs you more money. If you need regular medication, which many clients do, if you can buy a pre-prescription card, it's cheaper. If you have to pay for every prescription, it's more expensive. If you can do your energy online with a dual fuel, especially, and manage it all yourself, it's cheaper. If you haven't got a computer, you can't afford the internet. We don't know how to use it, or you've got a prepaid meter where you're putting money in a slot or you're topping up a card, it's more expensive. And the way that our society is geared, the way it works, is that people with money make more money off the back of people who are in debt. That's the way our society works. Jesus had some things to say about that sort of society, didn't he, in his preaching. 3 in every 4 clients, 75% of clients, say they visited their GP with debt-related issues. Not to talk about the debt, but generally because of depression or because of anxiety and stress over their debt. 3 in every 4. 4 in every 10 of our clients attempted or seriously considered suicide. I personally have dealt with quite a number of people who have attempted suicide. Before they've come to us. I went to see a couple one time, and the lady met me outside of the flat, and she said, you can't come in. This was the first visit. I'd never met this lady before. She said, you can't come in. She said, my partner attempted suicide last night, and he's, I can't remember, he'd just come home from hostel. He was still in hostel. She said, you can't come in. And so I went down to a local pub with this lady. It was the only place locally to go. And we sat in this pub, phoning the council and phoning different people to get them off her back, because this lady was, you know, right on the edge as well. But those are the sort of desperate situations that we can find ourselves in. Relieving debt relieves oppression. That lady, that couple are now debt-free. Amazing. You could pray for her. I won't tell you her name. But she's been kind of on the edge of, will she come to church? She says that good things have happened only since we got involved with her. Such a common response when you pray for someone where you offer them help that suddenly their lives begin to lift a little bit. Relieving debt relieves oppression. Surely CAP helps us, the local church, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. As Russell said a few minutes ago, our motivation is to bless people with the blessing that we've received. It's to show people the love that we have received. We're not going out there to these people and say, oh, you know, you really need. We're saying, hey, God's been good to me, and I just want to share that goodness with you, because I need forgiveness just the same as anyone else needs forgiveness. And I've been a Christian for 40 years, and I'm still so, so glad that God's mercy is new every morning. You never get to a point, do you, where you go, ah, sussed, sorted, no worries,
No, every day, Lord, your mercy is amazing. Your mercy is wonderful. And that's what we go and share. We're not going and sharing rules and regulations. We're not going and sharing dress codes and orders of service and everything else. We're going to share the love and the forgiveness, the fact that mercy triumphs over judgment through the cross. And that's what we're going to go, what we go and share with people. Hey, I could go on all day. This book, which I've got a few of over here, is the story of CAP. It's told by John Kirkby. A lot of it are entries from his diary from when he was in debt and some of the stuff that he was struggling with. And it's an amazing book. You know, when I first read this, I found I had to keep putting it down because I just felt overwhelmed. You know, I'd read it and think the injustice, the desperate position that he found himself in, and how there was just no way out, and the way he was treated by different organizations. It just, you know, kind of overwhelmed me, really. But also the faith of stepping out and saying, God has told us to do this, so we're going to do it, but there's no money in the bank. Well, we need another person. We're going to employ them, but there's nothing to pay them with. God will provide. And God did provide, and God continues to provide to this day. So we're giving this book away free. Woo! That's good. We've got one excited person. You'll be first in the queue. Glad to see that. So to get your free book, all you need to do is to complete this form, which would have been on your seat. So if you didn't notice it, you're probably sitting on it. If you did notice it, you might put it under your seat. But the left-hand side of this form, as you look at it in front of you, your name and address and phone number or email, so that we can keep you in contact with what we are doing, what's going on in this amazing charity. For that, I will give you a free book. If you've already read this one, I have a couple of other books there called Journeys of Hope, which are books that talk about client stories of people who have been impacted through the work of Christians Against Poverty. And they're free as well, all right? So you don't have to give us any money to get a book. Is that all right? I'm going to talk about money in a little while, but you don't need to give us any money. But if you're not in a position to give any money, that's absolutely fine. We don't want anyone to feel under any pressure at all. But what we are going to do, we're going to watch a DVD in a second. It's just a few minutes long. But if you want to grab that form, you should have a pen as well, and just begin to fill details in. Some of you are looking at blank. A form looks like that. So if you want to grab that, you can fill it in while the DVD's on or afterwards. And to get your free book, you just come to the stand, which is over here, afterwards. I know it says weighed down by debt. That doesn't mean to say necessarily that you're weighed down by debt. But if you are, by all means, talk to me or to Russell about that. If you want to grab your form and start to fill that in. And just while we do that, I wonder if you could play that DVD. We need to dim the lights for anything. It's just about 4 or 5 minutes long, and then I'll wrap up. Got a little bit of an idea of maybe head office and them up north. I just want to tell you about something that is someone who's very dear to my heart, and I wonder if you could put a photo up there. There's a lady called Yvonne. Wouldn't it be amazing if next year, on your CAP Sunday, you've got your own Yvonne, a CAP client from Eastleigh who's come to faith. I just want to tell you very briefly Yvonne's story, just in a few words. In the summer of 2011, Yvonne attempted suicide. In the autumn of 2011, the Poole CAP Centre opened, and we were in the local paper, and Yvonne's father saw a picture of me. He still picked up the phone, which was amazing, but he saw that the centre was opening, and he said to Yvonne, "You must get help from them." And so Yvonne phoned us up. We were already getting busy, and in December 2011, we met Yvonne for the first time. And some of her story came out, some came out later on. She's a lady with a difficult past. with some substance misuse issues, with a disabled son who she felt unable to cope with and someone else looked after, which kind of added to her sense of guilt and of failure. She was a broken lady when we went to see her. We met with her, we shared with her what we would do and how we would do it. We prayed with her. She cried. So that was a release of that emotion that was there. In the summer of 2012, she was debt-free. She didn't have a lot of debt. And hear this, she attempted suicide and she had only something like £500 of debt. Now, there's probably many people in this room could say, well, I could have just written a check out for that. She attempted suicide for £500 of debt. Summer of 2012, she became debt-free. She became a Christian. We did a church weekend away, and we decided to invite one or two clients who weren't Christians on it. Something for you to think about, maybe, for the future. And I remember dropping her off at the end of it. She said, I've got so much to think about. And a week or two later, she came to faith. She got baptized, just so you know that even though I'm not a Baptist, we believe in baptism. There we are. That's me in the pool. And just sharing a little joke with those, I remember I said to Yvonne, I said, can I pray for you? And then we both just kind of clocked that I'd said that before to her 6 months ago when I was in the home. And we both just laughing there. 2013 was a really difficult year. It was a year of doubt, a year of struggling with depression for Yvonne. And we, a very dark time, we didn't see her for sometimes a month or two on end. And then in 2014, she blossomed. She wanted to lose weight. She went off to Weight Watchers. She was losing weight. She started talking about volunteering in the CAP Centre and to go and help others. And she's just a lovely lady, full of joy and exuberance and enthusiasm. And then tragedy struck. And her mum died of a brain hemorrhage. And just died really, really suddenly like that. The family came to us because they didn't really know anyone else. They didn't have any relation to any church. They weren't Christians or anything. They came to us and they said, would you help us with a funeral? So we took the funeral and we organized a wake and everything for them. And Yvonne supported her father through that time. And I remember I couldn't tell you the date, but Yvonne stood up on a Sunday and she thanked the church for their support and their prayer. And she just said, I've reached my target weight and I'm going to start volunteering. And she was just so enthusiastic and raring to go. Amazing. Such an amazing blessing to us as a church was Yvonne. And then in the week, Yvonne died of a hemorrhage, exactly the same. Of her mum, just literally 3 weeks after her mum died, she dropped down dead, basically. And we were in shock as a church. We were in shock. And even now, when I think about it, I feel sad. But Scripture says that we grieve, and we do grieve. We grieve, but not like those who have no hope. We grieve, but not like those who have no hope. And when I think about Yvonne, there's a sadness because I wish she did come with me on visits. I wish she was there to share her story with other clients. And yet I rejoice because she's gone to spend eternity with her God and Savior, with my God and Savior. I said at the beginning that I'd give opportunity to support the work financially through a regular monthly donation. And I could throw lots of numbers at you as to how many centres we want to open and the expansion. We've got big vision, big plans to see the whole of this nation have opportunity to engage with CAP. But, you know, the bottom line for me is I want to see more Yvonne's in the kingdom of heaven. I want to see more people who are broken have their lives restored. People who have no hope, be filled with hope. People who are depressed and suicidal, filled with joy and exuberance and added into the local church. We don't get any government funding, and I'll tell you why. Because we want to be open to share our faith. We want to be open to share the gospel. We want to be open to offer prayer. And that's why we get no government funding. Why shouldn't the church, again, be at the forefront of social change as it was in times past? Why shouldn't the church in Eastleigh or in Poole be at the forefront of social change? Again, I believe it should be. So, to fund further centres around the country, to see more Yvonnes come to faith, I'm asking you for your help, and I'm asking you to commit to join 28,000 other people in this country by making a regular donation to the work of Christians Against Poverty. Our average life changer, as we call them, gives £12 a month. That's £3 a week. But it makes a massive, massive difference. And if you want to do that, if you tick the box at the bottom of the left-hand side on your form where it says about making a regular donation, if you're already a life changer, maybe you already contribute in that way, then I'd ask you to consider maybe increasing your donation, as many do each year when they are able to. If you don't know the amount, don't worry. If you haven't got your bank details, don't worry. We will contact you on that. So really appreciate that. Just one last thing to mention, though. There may be one or two people in here for whom £12 a month is nothing, really. And you would be able to and would want to give considerably more than that. And we have a project that we call Centre Supporters, who are people who will give a minimum of £50 a month. And we're looking for 1,000 of those, and we have several hundred already across the country. And what we do with those guys is we recognise their ability to give. John Kirkby, the founder of CAP, he has more contact with them as a group. So he will give a regular update, monthly update, of what's going on within the centre, within the charity overall, and just a bit of an inside track into the heart of what CAP is about. So if that's you, and there may be just one and maybe two here today, but if that's you, then please come and let me know at the stand, centre sponsors. So on behalf of the poor and needy, that we will help through your donations. I say we will help other churches to help through your donations. I want to say a massive thank you. And thank you so much for having me. It's been a privilege to come and share with you guys. God bless you on that. We'll be at the stand straight away after the service. So if you want to drop your form off on your way out to get a cup of tea or coffee, that's great. If you're so desperate for lubrication that you need to go and come back, do come back. I drink mine, a coffee, weak black with one sugar. So that would be very much appreciated. I wonder if the musicians could come and...